Welcome to the LifeLink Church podcast. We hope you hear something that will make a difference in your everyday life. If there is anything we can do to be a bigger part of God's plan for your life, then please email us at info@lifelinkchurch.com and let us know. Now prepare your hearts to hear God's word to you today.
Good morning, everybody. Wow, what a powerful, powerful experience we're having worshiping God. I love the journey together. We worship God through singing, through giving, and then we say, God, would you open our hearts and our minds and our understanding and meet us in your scripture and transform us into new people by changing the way we think. So right where you are, I want to encourage you just to set your mind for that. You're going to hear God challenge you with some things today that I believe are life-changing. You're going to love every part of it. At the very beginning of this, why don't, if you have not already done so, if you're on Facebook, why don't you start a watch party? You have no idea who's going to connect with that watch party, but here's what I know. If you'll share that or start a watch party on Facebook, you have no idea that God's going to connect somebody else who needs to hear this today, and you're the one who's going to get the credit for it. If you're watching online on our website or maybe YouTube, go ahead, share your screen, do the same thing, and let's get ready to encounter God in a life-changing way. You know, just before we get into the message, I want to share some things just with the LifeLink Church family. I know we've got friends and family all over the world, who are, and especially the nation watching, but for those of you that call LifeLink home, I want to let you know that here in the next few weeks, Pastor Sheree and I are going to do something we've been planning all the way through the bigger part of this year, and that is we've been planning a sabbatical for this summer, and we were initially planning to do that a little bit later in August. But as we were evaluating some things that we see as opportunities coming up a little bit later this fall, we decided it'd be better off if we go ahead and move that timeline up a couple of weeks. So here's what we want you to know this, and you're getting this information just a little bit ahead of time, but starting next week, we're gonna actually step into a sabbatical where we'll be off for the months of August and September, refreshing ourselves and getting ready for this next new season together. And we know that God is preparing our heart and our church family to do something extraordinary in this next season. And so I want you to know that so that you'd not be surprised by that. But I also want you to know we're ready for you. In other words, our teams are ready to go. We have great teams of leaders in every capacity of our church ministry. And you're going to love the next couple of weeks, the next few weeks together, enjoying the ministry of our team. So I wanted to let you know that that's coming up. But it's all part of God's big picture plan for the year 2020. Boy, the end of this year is going to be great. We just know God's going to do something great. So if you're ready to meet God in the scriptures, why don't you join me in prayer? Let's ask God to go ahead and start the process of working in our understanding by his Holy Spirit, bringing us some insight that will transform us into new people, changing the very way we think. Let's pray. Now, God, this morning, as we're opening our hearts and minds to you, just as we already have begun to experience the work of your Holy Spirit in the worship journey so far, we're asking you to take the next 20 or so minutes of our journey and you would cause our minds to be challenged, to grow, with the insights you're going to give us today. We thank you in advance for how you'll do all of this, for your glory, our transformation, and the inspiration of so many people who see the evidence of you at work in our lives. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Everybody said or typed, amen. Amen, amen. Well, I just want to encourage you to be ready. God's about to actually start this new work in your heart today. So I want to start this morning by just talking about some of the things that are a big part of what we actually consider inspiration in life. How many of you know, or how many of you love a good overcomer story? All of us are inspired by things that have happened when we watch stories of people's lives who face insurmountable obstacles, and they crash through those quitting points, and in the end, they win. And in the very process of that, they inspire us in the very same way to face challenges that we face in life with that same tenacity. Well, as inspiring as all of those stories are, here's what they all have in common. Every one of those stories have this in common. They all happen in hard circumstances. Can you say hard circumstances? Overcoming stories all happen in really hard circumstances, which means it takes a strength on the inside of a person to be able to push through those quitting points and just crash through them and say, I won't be stopped no matter what. They all happen in hard circumstances. And so as we have had the chance to think through the year 2020, It's really been a hard circumstance for a lot of us. We've faced things that we've never seen before as a culture. We face challenges, economic challenges, situations with this COVID circumstance. We're facing the circumstances that are involved with all the dynamics going on with people working through the racial challenges and opportunities we have to see God do some extraordinary things in every layer of our culture and our community. But here's what we know. It's all challenging. It's all challenging. But we also know that our God is a great, big God. How many of you know that's true? In fact, right where you are, just say that out loud. My God is a big God, and He has a big grip on my life. So today I want to talk to you about a circumstance we're going to look at in the Gospel of John in a statement that Jesus gave us that is truth. We're going to look into that and see God give us a timeless principle that I believe God's going to use in your life to develop new sources of strength and tenacity and that posture of the winning heart on the inside of you in new ways like never before. All right? Right now, as we're working our way through this, I want you to take a look at John chapter 16, verse 33. It says this, "I have told you these things," Jesus said, "so that in me you may have peace." He says, listen, I'm going to tell you some things so that you'll actually know some things that are coming and you'll be able to settle in to a posture and an experience of peace. And then he says these two phrases, "In this world, you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world." Now think about those two phrases. You're going to have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. One more time. In this world, you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. And then he said, remember, I'm telling you this so that you'll have peace. What Jesus is outlining there is something called a paradox. A paradox. And I know that's probably not a word that you use on a regular basis, but in case you're trying to remember what the word paradox means, let me give you the definition. It's two seemingly contradictory statements in the same thought that when investigated or explained, prove to be well-founded or true. Said another way, it's this. Say it a little simpler. Two contradictory statements that are at the same time contradictory and true. That's what Jesus is saying. I'm going to tell you some things that are hard to hold on to, but I'm going to tell you that ahead of time so you can have peace. You're going to have some trouble, but take heart, I've overcome the world. Take heart, I've overcome the world. God is saying, really, I want you to know it's all going to work out in the end. It's just going to be hard for a little bit. It's all going to be something you watch me pull together, but right now, it's really hard. See, God being in charge doesn't mean it's always easy. God being in charge doesn't mean the blessings just flow and life's just on easy street. God says, I want you to know something ahead of time. There are going to be some things you face in life that are really challenging, really hard, but I want you to take heart because I've overcome the world. And our ability to hold on to those two opposing truths. Right now there's trouble, but God is big. Right now it's really hard, but God has overcome the world. Right now it's really hard, but God's going to work it out in the end. Right now it's really hard, it's really challenging, but in the end we win. Right now, I'm not sure how I'm going to make it, but here's what I know. In the end, I'm going to win. Why? Because my God has got a grip on my life. Two big statements that sometimes seem to be contradictory. It's hard, but God wins. I want you to know that this morning, God is saying, I'm telling you that ahead of time so you can lean into the tension of those two big ideas, those that seem to contradict each other. And you can develop a strength on the inside of you that you're going to need and I'm going to use to get you all the way from where you feel stuck right now. Come on, I don't know who I'm talking to, but you know, you feel stuck right now. And God's saying, I'm not going to leave you stuck. I'm going to get you all the way through. You're going to experience a great breakthrough. How? Because I have overcome the world. The tension between those two big ideas are some things we're going to need to hold on to. Let me give you a couple of, an illustration I think will be inspiring to you. A business author named Jim Collins years ago wrote a book called Good to Great. And in that book, he wrote of an account of an officer named Admiral Jim Stockdale, who was a prisoner of war who endured torture for 8 years in a Vietnam prison before being released. Now think about this just for a moment. He endured 8 years of torture physical, psychological, emotional, every dimension of who he was for 8 years. You think, how in the world can someone endure that? Well, when he was interviewed on this side of that experience, he said, here's what he said. When they asked him, what's the key to making it through all those years of torture when so many around you didn't? He said this, it was the ability to hold on to these two truths in my mind at the same time. In other words, he said, there's two truths I'm holding on to in my mind at the same time. And here's how he said it. He said, I had an unwavering hope that someday we were going to make it home. I had an unwavering hope that someday we were going to make it home. I had this unwavering hope. There was something inside of me that said, someday we're going to make it home. But it's probably not going to be today. I know someday we're going to win, but it may be a while. See, for him, it set him up. Those two contradictory statements, we're going to win, may not be today. He said, I held onto those two truths at the same time in my mind. They don't easily fit together, but it was what sustained me. I love that. And he said this. He said, this is a very important lesson that you must never confuse faith that you will prevail in the end. Don't ever confuse that, which you can never afford to lose, with the discipline to confront, and here's a key, confront the most brutal facts of your current reality, whatever they might happen to be. He's basically saying, listen, don't pretend. Don't whitewash stuff. Acknowledge the facts for what they are. It's really hard. But I refuse to let go of the fact that someday I'm going to win. It just may not be today. But someday I'm going to win. He said, don't ever confuse those two things together. You are going to win. He said, I had to hold on to that idea in my mind. And then acknowledge, but today is really, really hard. And you may be thinking, Pastor Dave, can we really, as Christ followers, as people of faith, can we say it's really hard and yet have faith in God at the same time? And Jesus himself is the one who said, yes, in this world you're going to have some trouble. But take heart, I've overcome the world. We're going to have to learn how to hold on to those two big thoughts together. Why? Because when we hold on to those two big thoughts together and refuse to let go of either one, it's really hard right now, but I'm going to win. Why? Because Jesus has overcome the world. When we actually do that, then we're developing a strength and a trust in our Heavenly Father that gives us the capacity to withstand anything that we face that develops in front of us. As Jim Collins was reflecting on Stockdale's insights, Jim Collins said this, listen, life is unfair. Sometimes it's unfair to our advantage. Sometimes it's unfair to our disadvantage. We will all experience disappointments and crushing events somewhere along the way. Setbacks from which there is no reason or no one to blame. It just happened. It might be disease. It might be injury. It might be an accident. It might be losing a loved one. It might be getting sucked away in a political shakeup. It might be getting shot down behind enemy lines and thrown into a prisoner of war camp for 8 years. But what separates people who make it well from those who don't is not the presence or absence of difficulty. It's how they deal with the inevitable difficulties of life when they come. See, in Stockdale's prisoner of war experience, it was the paradox of believing that someday they'd make it out victoriously. It just may not be today. It was the ability and the willingness and the tenacity to hold on to those two big ideas, he said, that gave him the strength from the inside out to be able to withstand what really took so many strong people down. But he said, not me. Why? Someday I'm getting out. It just may not be today. Someday I'm going to have victory. Why? Because it's in front of me, but it's just really hard right now. And so for so many people, that's a leadership lesson. But I want to show you that that's not something that Stockdale came up with. That's not something that Jim Collins wrote about and found a creative way to say, hey, here's a compelling idea that ought to inspire you a little bit. No, no, no. It actually has its roots in the heart of our Father who through Christ told us, see, listen, I want you to know that there's two different big ideas that you're going to experience. One is this. You're going to face some trouble. Don't whitewash it. Don't ignore it. Don't downplay it. Don't minimize it. Don't say it's not there. Why? Because there is a reality to that. But don't lose heart. Why? I've overcome the world. It's the same thing. You're going to face some difficulties. It may take you years to get through this, but here's what I want you to know. I've got you.
You may not know how you're going to get out of this, but I've got you. That's what we read. Think about this. Jesus said in John 16, verse 33, I've told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In other words, when everybody else seems like the world is falling apart and maybe you're tempted to throw in the towel and just say, that's it, I'm over it. God says, no, 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 I don't want you to be over it. I want you to overcome it. I don't want you to think it's just done. No, no, no. God said, I've given you strength. I've given you power. I've given you faith. I've given you my presence, my anointing. I've given you everything you need not to throw in the towel and give up, but to say, hey, I'm going to overcome this. And in the end, no matter what happens, I win. In the end, no matter what happens, I win. That's what Jesus will say. So living well in that tension develops a strength on the inside of us that we're going to need in order to be able to live all the way through this season, not just make it, but have victory. Listen, church, I want you to know this morning. God is giving you access to everything you need for true, powerful, effective breakthrough and victory in your life. Boy, I just heard somebody say, yeah, Pastor Dave, that sounds great. But I don't know if it applies to me. Here's what I want you to know. The Holy Spirit just pushed pause in the message to settle into right where you are. Whether you're on Facebook, you're on the website, YouTube, maybe it's the Sunday that we're actually worshiping together on August the 2nd, and it may be 3 years from now when you're watching this, but here's what the Holy Spirit just paused this message for you to hear him say, I've got you. You're going to win. Don't give up. Don't give up. I know it's hard, but hold on to the truth that I've overcome the world. Why? Because I never go back on my word. God has you. God has you. See, when we live well and we lean into the tension of those two big ideas and hold on to both of them at the same time, it develops a strength on the inside of us. It's not easy, but it develops strength on the inside of us. It's similar to how lifting weights is a catalyst for developing strength and strong muscles. I'm not that big in the exercise science of weightlifting and bodybuilding. You could probably tell I may have had a cheeseburger or two too many. Don't look at my stomach right now while you're do an upshot. I'm not sure where you're looking at. But the bottom line is this. Hey, listen. Here's what we know. It takes nutrition. It takes amino acids. It takes all kind of nutritional takes all of those things. So strong muscles do not all come down to one thing, but there's one thing it does take for all of that to come in together in an expression of strength, and that is this: push. Eventually, you got to push the hard weights. Eventually, you got to lift the heavy weights. Why? Eventually, it's the tenacity that says, I'm going to take all that I've gotten, and I'm going to start leaning into the tension of these two big ideas. When people who develop the exercise science of weightlifting or bodybuilding lean in on those ideas, they get the nutrition and the water and the rest and the exercise regimens. What they're doing is they're bringing it all together. They're holding on to all those elements at one time, and they develop something in them called strength. And it's just a picture, a parallel of something I believe God wants us to know, that there is a way he's given us access to the things he's given us in his Bible, along with who he is as our Heavenly Father, that says, listen, I know you really want your circumstance to smooth out. I know that you really want everything just to kind of settle down. But here's what I also want you to know. I've given you access to who I am so that you develop strength on the inside of you that we develop together in our relationship. So what I want to do for the last few minutes of this message today is look at a man whose life illustrates this well in the New Testament. In fact, if you're familiar with the Bible, you may know him as the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul. He actually was used by God to capture and write down 2/3 of the New Testament. And he was all over the place, different experiences, different settings. God used him to start all kinds of churches, do all kinds of things. But I want to talk to you from the context of 5 different, we call them books or epistles or letters that he wrote to different places along the way from prison. Because he had a powerful encounter with God, undeniable, had a strength that he developed in his walk with God, all those things. God used him in a powerful way. And yet at the same time, he found himself in prison. And while he was in prison, he said, I've got a great opportunity to write to encourage some other folks and provide some context that I believe is going to make a difference. Those five books are Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, 2 Timothy, and Philemon. We're gonna reference most of those today. And I just want you to look in the journey of his life and recognize this same paradox, the same tension between these two big ideas. It's really hard right now, but I want you to know God is winning. It's really challenging right now. I feel in prison. I'm actually in chains right now, but I want you to know God is winning. And I want you to listen to this morning. I believe God's gonna encourage you with this. Colossians chapter 1, verse 6, the second part of that NIV says this: the gospel is bearing fruit and growing throughout the whole world. Three chapters later in Colossians chapter 4, he says this: I, Paul, write this greeting in my own hand. Remember my chains. Earlier in the chapter, he's saying, listen, all over the world, great things are happening. We're winning. Lives are being transformed. Fruit is abundant. It's clear God's doing great things. Three chapters later, remember I'm in chains. What's he saying? I'm holding on to these two big ideas. It's not one or the other. It's both. Everything God is doing, there's something powerful he's doing in all these different circumstances. But right now, I'm in chains. Remember how big God is. Remember how undefeatable he is. Remember how he works extraordinarily and powerfully through circumstances and does miracle after miracle after miracle, setting people free, transforming people's lives. But right now, I'm in chains. Do you see the tension between those two big ideas? And this is a man God used to actually write 2/3 of the New Testament. If it's true for him, it'll be true for you and true for me. And it's not that I want to rub this in your face that it's going to be true, that you're going to have trouble. It's these two big ideas. Right now, it may be hard, but we're going to win. Right now, it may be really challenging. It may look impossible, but you're going to win. Right now, it may seem like there's no way to get past the circumstance you're in, the family crisis, the diagnosis or whatever it is, but God is big, and God always wins. The paradox. Paul knew the power of living in the tension between these two big ideas. Look at what he said in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. Says, praise be to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. Two chapters later, for this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus, for the sake of you Gentiles. He's talking about that paradox again, those two big ideas. He said, I want you to know that God has blessed us with every spiritual blessing. It's incredible. I'm a prisoner. How can those two big things work together? Because God wants us to know this morning that our circumstances, the challenge of our circumstances, do not define the outcomes of our life. God is big. God is powerful. And he works sometimes holding those two big things together in our lives, developing strength for us to live. The paradox of those things. In every case, Paul knew how to hold on to those two paradoxical truths at the same time. And here's why he was able to do it. Because he knew God. He knew God. God wasn't a list of do's and don'ts. God was not a religious culture overcoat of some kind to just put on to fit in with a group of people. He actually knew God, and because he knew God, he was able to lean all the way in and say, listen, right now I'm in chains, but my God is big. I want to encourage you wherever you are. He's writing to these different places. You may be facing circumstances that are really challenging. I'm in chains, but God is big. What's he saying? Your chains don't define who you are. Your chains don't define who God is. You can be struggling with something and God still being big at the same time. It's how God works. Historically, God's people develop undefeatable strength learning how to live in the power of this tension. So I want to close this message by talking about three practical things that I believe God uses the tension between these two big ideas to accomplish. And listen, I know you've probably been writing some notes down and all that, but I don't want you to miss the last few things. So if you've had an email come through or you're kind of off doing something else, bring it back in. Come on, everybody, focus in on this. Let's land strong together. Three big things God uses the tension between these two big ideas to do in our lives and in others. Number one, when I learn to live well with the tension between these two big ideas, number one, it inspires others who watch me. Do you know right now that there are people watching your life? They know that you're a Christ follower. They know that you're a Christian. They know that you've that you've identified yourself as being a part of those who are the household of faith. They know the, and they watch and they say, how's it gonna work for him? Because life is so hard everywhere else. But when I learn to live well with those two big ideas, the tension between those two conflicting statements, that life is hard, but God is big. When I learn how to live that well, it inspires others. Listen to what Paul captured for us in Philippians chapter 1, verses 12 through 14. It says this, now I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that this, what has happened to me, has actually served to advance the gospel. As a result, it has become clear throughout the whole palace guard and to everyone else that I'm in chains for Christ. Do you see the tension between those two things? I'm in chains, but God has used it to advance the gospel. I'm struggling and I'm clearly stuck in a circumstance I don't want, but God is using it to advance the gospel. I love, love, love that. And then he says this, verse 14 says, and because of my chains, in other words, because I'm identifying the fact that I'm struggling in a circumstance that is hard, yet God is still big, because of that, listen to this. Because of my chains, most of the brothers and sisters have become confident in the Lord and dare all the more to proclaim the gospel without fear. What's he saying? Because I'm able to say with confidence, I'm stuck in a prison, but God is big. I'm in chains, but God is using my circumstance to advance the gospel. Because I'm able to do that, it's emboldened others who are watching the example of God at work in me to learn how to live in strength and do the same thing. Don't you see that sometimes God allows us to walk through struggles and challenges in our personal experience, not just to do something that he wants to bless us with, but because he leverages the power of our story, the Bible calls it a testimony, to do something that only a story of life change can do for somebody else who wants to know, is God real and does he really work? And your willingness to say, I'm stuck right now, but my God is big. God uses that same example, not just to bless you, but to inspire so many others around you. So number one, when we learn to live well in the tension between these two truths, that we're winning, yet we're still struggling. Number one, it inspires others. Number two, it does something else. And this is something that I believe you're gonna find interesting. It produces something called contentment. It produces something called contentment. In other words, it frees me to be content in the experience I am having in Christ. Not that my contentedness is anchored in the circumstances of my life. See, for so many people, we try so hard to get all the circumstances in our life to be just like we want them so that we feel content. And God is saying, no, your contentedness comes from something else. It comes from our relationship. And so I want you to look at this. Philippians chapter 4, verse 11 and 12 says this. I'm not saying this because I'm in need, Paul says, for I have learned to be content whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to be in plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or living in want. What's he talking about? The power of being content. Listen carefully. I want you to know this. God says, I'm gonna use this experience you're walking through right now. It's true that you may be struggling through circumstances you can't control. But your tenacity to hold on to who I am and the strength that gives you is not just gonna be an inspiration to inspire others, it's gonna develop something in you called contentment, which is a powerful strength. Listen carefully, I don't know if you've ever thought about this, but it's really hard to tempt somebody or to manipulate somebody who is content. When we live a life of contentedness, it's really difficult for somebody to come from outside or a circumstance to happen that unseats us or unsettles us. Why? Because we're content. But most of our culture works by leveraging our discontentedness to try to get us to do something or part with more money or part with these friends or step into substances or any number of circumstances that bring that sense of settledness. But God's saying, no, don't be tempted and don't be manipulated. Don't be tempted, don't be manipulated. Listen carefully, everybody. I'm telling you, God's given us a key here that we can actually take the reality that we're living in a tense situation, but we trust the outcomes to God so that we're not tempted and we're not manipulated. tempted or manipulated. Why? Because we're content. God is our sufficiency. We have everything that we need in who He is. So when we learn to live well in the tension of these two truths, which is in the end we win, but right now it's really hard. Number one, it does inspire others. Number two, it actually does develop a strength called contentness in who we are, or contentment in us. But number three, and I love this, it causes us to see no limits. It causes us to see no limits. Listen to what Paul wrote down in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. He says this: remember Jesus Christ, raised from the dead, descended from David. Then he says, this is my gospel, which means this is my testimony, for which I'm suffering to the point of being chained like a criminal. He says, remember, this is the story of my life. But I want you to know that no matter what I'm going through, I want you to remember Christ who was crucified. What's he saying? I'm in chains, but don't forget Christ. I'm in struggles. I'm stuck in a circumstance I can't get out of in my own opinion, in my own willpower. But remember Christ. He says this: I'm suffering even to the point of being chained like a criminal, but God's word is not chained. In other words, even though the circumstance may seem impossible, God's power is above that. Even though the sickness that you're struggling with may seem impossible to deal with, God's power to heal you is not chained. Even though the financial circumstance that you're dealing with right now, that there seems to be no way out of, God is your provision. He's Yahweh Jireh. He is not chained by a circumstance. He's God, and He wants you to know it may be tough right now, but in the end you win. It may be a relationship that you're struggling with. Maybe it's a marriage circumstance. I don't know what you're struggling with, but here's what I do know. No matter how hard it is right now, God's word is not chained. God's word is not chained. God is able to do everything that's necessary to break you out of that situation and into freedom and into deliverance and into breakthrough. So this morning, as we're wrapping up this message, I just want to bring this into a focal point with you. How are you doing? How are you doing with this challenge this morning? Are you able to see that sometimes we live the tension between these two big things? Number one, it's really hard right now. But number two, God is big. And sometimes we want God to fix the circumstance or situation, but the reality is He actually says, nope, you may be in that circumstance for a few more days, maybe a few more weeks. I don't know how long it's gonna take for you to break out of that situation from a natural sense, but God says, no matter how long that is, I'm with you and I won't let you go. I've got you. In the end, you're gonna win. Hold on to those two big ideas, those two big truths. Why? Because even though you may feel stuck, you are serving a God who is not in chains. Our God is big. So when we come down to that question, how are we doing with this challenge? Living in these two big ideas, how are we doing? See, there's a temptation that some of us have to emphasize one side or the other. Maybe you feel tempted to say, don't worry, God's got this. And while that may be true, and it is true theologically, it's true, and the truth of what God's word is saying to us is true, if you come across that way to everybody who's struggling around you, don't worry about it, God's got it. What happens is, because you're not acknowledging the challenge of your own situation, and even though the truth is God has it, if it's missing the power to inspire others because you don't acknowledge that this is really a struggle, it really is a challenge. So I wanna encourage you, if you're of that persuasion where it's like, don't worry about it, God's got it, I wanna encourage you to be willing to share with people, no, God's got it, but I want you to know right now, this is hard that I'm going through. This really is a struggle, it really is a challenge, but deep inside I know my God is big. I don't know how it's gonna work out, but I know that God's got this. I don't know how this is gonna end, but I know that my God is faithful. I don't know how I'm gonna get around this circumstance, but I know God's gonna get me through. See, that connects with people where they are. Instead of just going, don't worry about it. God's going, it's good, it's easy. No, it's not. It's hard sometimes. But God is big. God is big. You may feel stuck. Maybe like Paul said, I'm in chains. I can't get out of this circumstance. But God and His word are not chained. So if you're in that context where it's like, nope, don't worry about it. God's got it. Sometimes when you're talking to people, acknowledge the struggle. Acknowledge the challenge. Why? Because that allows them to connect with where you are and then let what God's doing inside of you provide inspiration to them to help them come out of that. Or maybe your tendency is to overemphasize the other side, which is this: man, I don't know how in the world it's going to work. In fact, I don't even know if there is a tomorrow. Everything's terrible. It's all bad. I'm just over it. I don't even know how I'm going to face tomorrow. I may not even deal with, I'm just going to quit the whole thing. Listen, don't do that either, because what's happening is if you're on that side of the issue and you're not acknowledging the power of God, then you've got nothing to offer somebody else who's struggling in the same ditch. Why? Because God said, remember what Jesus said. We're almost done. Come on, stay with me. Jesus said, listen, in this world, you're going to have some trouble, but take heart. In other words, hold on to me in your heart. Why? I've overcome the world. We're going to get through this together. We're going to get through this together. And he said, I'm telling you this so that you have peace. That you have peace. Why? Because he said, I don't want you to wait for your circumstance to settle down for you to experience the peace that I'm going to give you in your heart. Jesus said, I'm going to give you a peace that only I can give. The world can't give it to you, and the world can't take it away. I'm going to give you peace that comes in you when, as you acknowledge the challenge that you're in, that you also say, but I know and I trust my God. God said, in that context, I'm going to develop a strength inside of you. Why? Because God doesn't want you to be over it. He wants you to overcome it. So I want to encourage you this morning, wherever you happen to be, don't dismiss the challenge, but don't dismiss God. I want to pray with you this morning, right where you are, because I believe God's given you several handles to hold on to in the message as we've journeyed through his truth this morning. I can feel the Holy Spirit working. We just have moments left in this service. So stay right here with me. Let me pray for you. Heavenly Father, thank you for your faithfulness. You're such a big and powerful God. I ask that you would cause the truth that you've illuminated in your scriptures this morning to radiate into our understanding in such a way that it gives us the strength and it galvanizes our tenacity to acknowledge, yes, it's a challenge, but we know our God and he never loses. Yes, I don't know how it's going to work out, but I trust him. And I'll hold on to those two big truths and let him develop strength inside of me. I thank you, Lord, for it. I thank you that you're giving people strength right now to move them past the point of being stuck. Boy, I just hear that in my spirit again and again. God doesn't want you to be stuck. He's giving you strength to know how to get past that. Listen, this morning, I also want to pray one more time, and that is for those of you who need to say yes to Jesus. If you don't know him relationally, you may not be able to trust him. So right now, I want to just, in the closing moments of this message, say, join me in prayer. Let me give your mouth words to say that your heart's already saying. You ready? Let's pray this prayer together. Heavenly Father, come on right where you are. Heavenly Father, thank you for loving me enough to tell me the truth in your Bible. Jesus, thank you for loving me enough to die on Calvary's cross to pay for my sins. Forgive me for my sins, I pray. Come into my heart today because I've decided to follow you from this day forward as my only God and Savior. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. God is good. Well, listen, God's doing a great work in your life, so we celebrate that with you. We're going to bring the service closer back to close us out today. I can't wait to see you back next Sunday. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to today's podcast. We pray that you are blessed by God's word. For more information, visit lifelinkchurch.com.